8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening, welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. I am Abraham Asari. In tonight's edition, NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo reportedly selects economist and former deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Mohamed Bawumia, as running mate. But how credible is the story? We'll confirm this shortly. And Kunedu posters surface in parts of the country. His former First Lady Tanako Ndajimene Rawlings contesting the 2012 elections as an independent candidate. Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. We're also live at gbcghana.com. Send us a text. 0264418767 is the number. The number again is 0264418767. More than 5 months after the ruling NDC settled on Professor Mills as a flag bearer of the party for the 2012 election, unconfirmed news making rounds suggests that former First Lady Nanako Ndajimene Rawlings would contest the election as an independent presidential candidate. Reports on the Greater Accra, Ashanti and Eastern regions indicate that the former First Lady's posters are prominent in these regions. So does Nanako Ndu have real intentions of contesting this year's election? What does the NDC make of the posters circulating in some parts of the country? Let's first speak to Henry Owari. He is a spokesperson for Kunedu for 2012, a group aimed at promoting the political ambitions of the former First Lady. Henry, good evening and welcome to Behind the News. So have you seen these posters?
Good evening, my brother, and good evening to all the Ghanaian listeners, to our honorable CBC. As you have asked me, I have just also seen the posters this evening, as it has been speculated in the media that it has been seen in Accra and some other areas. I don't think Nana Ndajimene Rawlings is aware of what is happening.
You don't think or you know?
I don't think, because I had a conversation with her just 2 days ago. And according to her spokespersons, in the name of Abubakar Sidir, Sidir Abubakar, and Kofi Adams, I don't think Madame has sanctioned any person to actually come out with those posters. We believe, we have championed the cause of Nana Ndajimene Rawlings, that she should come out and contest for the flag bearership of the NDC for 2012. And we went to Sunyani, and the delegate spoke. The delegate spoke, the president, former President Rawlings, went and lifted up the hand of President Mills in acknowledgement that the delegates have spoken, and we all believe that exactly we have accepted the decisions of the delegate, because the NDC is a democratic party, and they will respect our structures. Therefore, Madam Ndajimene Rawlings went round all the country to thank the delegates, whether they voted for her or not, to thank the delegates for spending their time and, making the NDC once again vibrant, in the Sunyani Congress. But with the coming up, popping up of these posters, I spoke to Nana Ndajimene Rawlings, and she vehemently denied that she's not aware about this poster that emerged all over the country.
Well, I'm sure you remember that before she declared her intention to run for the flag bearership, there were similar posters and there were denials, but eventually she declared and stood for that position and lost it. So why should we believe that this time these denials are the fact or the truth?
My brother, 2011 is different from 2012. And we all believe that as Sunyani spoke, we all have accepted the decision of the delegates. And they're not crazy at my Rawlings. And the Rawlingses are people that believe and respect the decision of the grassroots of the NDC. And we, or personally, I, on behalf of my union, and my group doesn't believe that Nakunde Marolins will come out with this decision without our involvement, without our, without being consulted. So we do not believe that it is Nakunde Marolins who is strictly or honestly behind this.
Now, your group, I'm sorry, Henry, your group is Kunendu for 2012. Is your group still alive? That group, Kunendu for 2012?
We are law-abiding group.
No, but are you still calling on her to stand for 2012?
We are alive. Only that we have been silent. After our Sunyani Congress, the party came out to say that Funka game is over. But we made them to understand that for Kunedu Ajimarolins, friends of Kunedu Ajimarolins, Funka, it is a legacy that cannot be just be prescribed like that.
So whom do you suspect? I'm sorry, Henry, but who do you suspect is behind this?
Our opponents, a lot of our opponents, are saying that they are going to win the election by all means. By all means. Therefore, we are suspecting that they are capitalizing on their promise to Ghanaians that they are going to win the election by all means, by maybe coming out with these posters to tarnish the image of Kunedu Ajimarolins. And we are going to defend her and defend the Rawlinses, because there are some elements who are out there to prove that Kunedu Ajimarolins or the NDC is a cracked glass. And whether it's a cracked glass, there must be a technology to seal the cracks, the cracks. And NDC is a one united family. Kunedu Ajimarolins and our former President Rawlins will not give a berth to NDC and come again to kill the same charge, no matter whatever perceived differences, or as our opponents in their media are trying to portray the NDC.
Okay, so Henry,
we believe that the NDC is a united front, and we all are better protected under our NDC government. Therefore,
okay,
whoever is facing this process there is just doing a mischief. Kunedu Ajimarolins has gone around the country to thank the delegates.
Yes, Henry, you said that, but please, okay, let me just find out, which group do you represent, do you speak for? Movements for Kunedu 2012 or for Funka?
I speak for Movement for Kunedu 2012.
Yes, so.
And after Congress, the delegates spoke at the Congress at Sunyani, and we all accepted it. But nobody can say that they have banned or they are prescribed Funka, because Funka is for life. Even in the demise of Kunedu Ajimarolins, there is still Funka.
So what has happened to the vision of this movement for Kunedu 2012? Is that vision still alive?
The delegates spoke, and we all accepted it. If anybody has any different agenda, we are not part of that agenda.
All right. Thank you so much, Henry. And
Rawlins is not part of this gimmick. I must promise you that.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Henry Owari is a spokesperson for the Movement for Kunedu 2012. You're listening to Behind the News. It's live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Well, Joseph Yamin, who is the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC, understands online. Joseph, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News. What do you think is behind, these posters that are making the rounds?
Good evening, my brother. Everybody is a suspect in this matter. If I say everybody, you, the host, is also a suspect. We are just trying to unravel the mystery behind this pasting of posters. And so I, through your network, will put it out there that we've communicated with the BNI to go as far as getting us to know who really is pasting these posters. But we've cross-checked from the office of the former First Lady, and our information suggests that they know nothing about this. Again, when we look at the posters itself and look at the pedigree of Mrs. Rawlins as a person, how far she's gone in politics, then it now suggests that she is that experience in politics to know that if you want to move out of a political party, go as an independent candidate, you cannot use the symbol of any political party. The umbrella, the black, green, white, and red colors are bona fide property of a political party called the National Democratic Congress. And so, per law, it is only the NDC that can use this symbol and the colors. And so, whoever is going on whichever ticket cannot use that emblem. And that is exactly why some of us do believe that indeed this will not definitely be coming from the office of the former First Lady.
Will you be surprised if it turns out that indeed she is behind it?
Yes, I would be surprised. The surprise here is that then it will mean that her pedigree in politics is questionable. I'm sure that...
And what do you think will be the consequences for your party?
Yeah, the party, whoever leaves the political party is based on numbers. And so if you have a single individual coming out of the party, then you should have a cause to worry about it. But she as a person also stands to lose whole lot, because we've not gotten to a stage where we can confidently say that an independent candidate can win an election in this country. And looking at her pedigree in politics, where she's gotten to, what she's acquired for herself and her family and Ghana as a whole, I'm sure going into an election and losing on the ticket of an independent candidate will delay whatever progress she's made in politics. And I'm sure she's aware of this and will not want to jeopardize whatever she's built for herself all these years. And so I clearly do not see why Mrs. Rawlings will want to go to that extent.
Okay, Joseph, thank you very much for your time tonight, and have a good night. Joseph Yamin is the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can send us a text. Shortly we'll be speaking to the National Chairman of the New Patriotic Party, Mr. Jacob Echebelamti, who is seated in the studio with me. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Well, former President Kufo once said, it is better to be a messenger in a ruling party than to be the General Secretary of a party in opposition. The former president made these remarks in reference to how difficult life could be for the NPP in opposition after losing power to the NDC. The NPP has been in opposition for 3 years and is preparing for the 2012 general elections. How is life in opposition and how has that impacted the NPP's preparations for this year's election? Jake Obechebelamte is the national chairman of the NPP and he's joined us now. Good evening to you, Mr. Obechebelamte. Welcome to Radio Ghana Studios.
Thank you, Abraham. Good evening. Good evening to all the many listeners of the Station of the Nation.
Yep. How's life?
Inshallah, better than good.
Oh, so you're enjoying life then, even in opposition?
Well, life is to be enjoyed. Life is to be used. Opposition is a challenge. You're supposed to use it. And this is what we have been trying to do. We have used it as a period to rethink and to look through and make sure that we have proper programs in place for the, inshallah, the return that will come in 2013. Also, you know, we also thank God that it has given younger voters an opportunity to see the two markets, the NDC Mills Mahama market and the MPP market that was led last time by John Ajikum Kufuor. And I think people are now beginning to see that there is a difference between the two markets. But there is a difference between the two parties. They're not all the same.
Before we go into the main thing, to pick something from what you said, you mentioned NDC Mills Mahama market, but I didn't say Kufuor Mahama. You didn't compare that to Kufuor Mahama. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make.
Yes, because Mahama is, in fact, I think you just announced on your news today that the inauguration of the president of Liberia was attended by Vice President John Mahama. In fact, you know, some people call him sometimes the acting president. I call him the active president, because anything that requires movement, anything that requires doing anything at all. He seems to be the one who goes and does that presidential job.
Is that to say that Vice President Ali Mahama then wasn't doing what John is doing today?
It meant that President Kufuor was a much more active president than President Mills has proved to be.
And Vice President John Mahama is a much more active vice president.
He has to be, because if you are supporting somebody who's not moving around at all, then you better get up off your butt and go and do the moving.
So then, what do you miss? You know, you were in government for 8 years, you're in a position for 3 years. Have you missed anything in government?
I had the opportunity to serve. Okay, from my personal perspective at the moment, that opportunity is still there. I mean, we're still serving. We're still offering solutions to the country's many problems. We're still, even in criticizing the present government, you criticize because what is being done is wrong, and you want them to know it is wrong, and then you suggest, some of the times, you suggest things that they could do. So, I mean, you are still able to have a voice. Unfortunately, I mean, the opposition have their say. The government has its way, and this is
which has always been the case.
They don't bother to listen to.
Has that always been the case in our governance system as a democratic country?
I would like to believe that President Kufuor was a much more listening president than the one that we are seeing now. But that's the first.
Can you cite anything that?
No, I'm not going to go into that. I mean, that's past. I'm dealing now with the future, not with the past.
And some have said that your party is doing very well in opposition, in criticizing the government and keeping it on its toes.
Well, they have a lot of things to be kept on their toes about, because as from everything that we have seen, this has been a party that came into a government that came into being because of propaganda, and has tried to govern through propaganda, through lies and distortions. Okay, and they're now beginning to find that at the end of the day, lies will come to roost, that you cannot continue to lie to the people. At some stage, the truth will come out, and people will be exposed to that truth.
So how do you assess MPP in opposition?
I think the MPP are doing its very best in opposition, but I think what we really need is MPP in government. Yeah. If you judge by the 8 years of the MPP government under President Kufuor, and you judge by the
3 years?
No. There was 8 years before. Okay. And if you just take Professor Mills, he had 4 years in charge of the economy. In the second NDC-2, the second term of President Rawlings, and we saw what a mess that was made of the economy. I mean, the weirdest thing was that the three people who were in charge of the economy at the time when the government checks started to bounce. So in 2000, you had Vice President Mills, you had Honorable Dufour, who was then the governor of the bank, and you had Honorable Amos, who was then the Deputy Minister of Finance. There's been some role changes now, but the same three people are there, and you are back again into the situation where government issues checks, and those checks bounce.
You made reference to Professor Mills' role then as head of the economic management team, but he wasn't the president.
And so?
The buck still stopped with the president.
The buck always stops with the president, but still. I mean, the president then made it very plain that this was the man who was in charge of the economy, and the economy failed. So you can blame President Rawlings, President Needy should be blamed, because he chose the vice president. Okay, but you still have to realize that this was the man who was in charge of the economy. And I mean, you see the level of his being in charge.
But even though you speak of not comparing or talking about the past, you brought it up. Do you think these three people you have mentioned are not doing well now with the economy?
Well, I'm just saying that in 2000, when they were in charge of the economy, you had checks issued by the government to various people, contractors, people they owed money to, all sorts of things, and those checks were bouncing.
But you're not
today,
going to campaign.
You're having those checks bounce again.
Today,
yes, now it's happening. Go and talk to people who have government checks. Somebody I was talking to the other day, the check had been stamped, returned to sender so many times that there was no place on the check left to stamp it again.
Maybe it was sent to the wrong account.
I mean, this is now very well known. The checks are bouncing as they bounced in 2000, as they did not bounce during the period of the MPP government.
Are you saying then that the macroeconomic indicators that we are told are doing very well with inflation and all that, do not reflect what the reality is?
I'm saying when you start saying talking about macroeconomy and they quote you figures about inflation has come down, you will always bring inflation down when you stop doing things. When you stop spending money, there's no money around. So inflation looks like it's coming down. But all you're doing is you're building up demand. Okay, pent-up demand, which one day has to be released. You talk about growth. I mean, the president at his interaction with the press was very proud that the country has grown is more in this last year than it has grown previously.
Is that another fact?
Take the oil out of it and then compare the level of growth in 2008 to the level of growth in 2011. Without the oil growth, okay, then you find that the real figures that they can quote are not as flattering.
But the oil is part of a national resource.
No, of course.
Is that not it?
Yes, but when you're starting to claim things, okay, you, to whom the claims are being made, you must start to look behind. You know, figures are notoriously used to distort and to tell a not complete story. So that you, the journalists, who are supposed to interpret these things to us, you must make sure you look behind the figures that are being put out there and then see what the real truth is.
You know, similar things were said when you were in power. People said, well, inflation, we don't eat inflation and all that.
And you don't.
The figures, yes. And you're saying the same thing.
And at the time, they will also find those figures. They will also find the same thing out.
At that time when you were in government, you defended those figures.
And the figures were real. Okay, the figures were real.
So what's the difference now?
I'm saying that if you're comparing macro to macro and the claim about macro to macro, then you try to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges, mangoes to mangoes. You don't compare across. If you're saying that your 14% growth is higher than it's ever been, let's look behind that figure and then see where that 14% came from. And then once you remove oil, okay, which was not there in 2008, you find what the real growth level was in 2008, and then you say, well, maybe actually 2011 does not look so fantastic.
Beyond the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra, we are tonight hosting the national chairman of the NPP, Jacob Echebi-Lamte, general secretary of the NDC, Johnson Asiri Nketiah, is also booked to speak on this program tonight. We are yet to get him, and we do that. We'll speak to him on Behind the News live tonight. What he's saying is the government is not spending, and that's why inflation figures are low. But the president had a national tour. I'm sure you remember.
But who say government is not spending?
Yes.
Please, let's not say government is not spending.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, because we know that government is spending money. Okay, but some of the times you have to start again. Look at what government is spending the money on. Okay, and then question whether government is spending wisely or not.
Yes, so let's come into that, because we've seen projects that the president went to inaugurate and all that, construction works, road construction all over, you know.
Marvelous.
So, yes.
Okay, now let me give you some of the ones he went to do. We are told Volta University, for instance, is 80% complete. And you've seen the pictures of all the residences that they are building. Do you know that the pictures that are being used for to show the illustration are the nurses' flats that were built during the NPP government in 2007? Okay, and then you can go there. If you go down to Ho, you see them. They're opposite the municipal.
Have they not been renovated?
Cemetery.
Has work not been done on them?
2007. They were commissioned in 2007. So very little work can be done. Okay, we were told during the interaction by the president that go to Asikuma and see the road that we are building to Pasa. Please go to Asikuma, join us. We'll lead journalists to go to Asikuma, and when you get to Asikuma, you see that all that has been done is a half a kilometer of the road from Asikuma has been shaped by the district assembly bulldozer, and that is what is called starting work on the Eastern Corridor Road. No contractor is on site. Only the district assembly bulldozer is being used. Tamale Polytechnic, the computer lab, which was commissioned by the president recently. That computer lab was completed in 2007, has been in use since 2008. What they did was they repainted the frontage. Only the front, not the back. They repainted the front for the president to come and commission it, when it has been in use since 2008. UDS, the Central Administration Building, was completed and has been in use since 2008. It was came out to be commissioned as if it was new by the president during his tour in 2011. So the whole Adaklu Adidome Road, okay, it had been awarded under the previous government. It was re-awarded in 2009. Less than 1 kilometer of that road has been completed. These are some of the real facts.
I remember.
I mean, when I come and I tell you that, oh, I have done this thing in Bolgatanga, and Bolgatanga seems as if it's too far for you to go and check. There are people living there. Okay, when you tell them that you have built something there, and they know it's not true, they will show you come the general elections.
I remember during your time, you know, you were accused of painting buildings and branding them as hippie projects. Did that happen?
No. We painted buildings, yes, but we painted them after we had completed building them. Okay, if you go again, one of the great things that we did do, okay, by going hippie, okay, was we did put a lot of schools that, you know, were in shanties and shacks and everything else. We made them into blocks. Go through vast areas of the Volta region. You will find people telling you the first time they saw a brick building, proper brick building in their village, around the village, was when we came to put a hippie school inside that village.
So then, is the NPP going to win 2012?
Oh, definitely.
Based on what?
Inshallah, based upon the lies that these people have fed us. I told you, okay, it's not a matter of just having the money. The president is elected by us to manage the affairs of our country as if it was a company. We've elected a chief executive. We give him 4 years in which to manage and to show us what he can really do. After 4 years, during the 4 years, we evaluate what he's doing, and after the 4 years, probation as it were, we make a decision as to whether we're going to give him another 4 years, or we're going to say, thank you very much, please retire, we're going to bring another management team in place. The president, the critical thing that he's in charge of, excuse me, is the economy. The basis of the economy is money. Government collects your money, my money, everybody's money, all the taxpayers' money. It collects it and then it starts to use it for the benefit of the people. When the government collects that money and then starts to use it for the benefit of one or two individuals and not for the people, we the people have a right to say, hey, hang on a minute, what are you doing with our money? The Auditor General exposed the monies that had been paid to Alfred Woyome, okay, as so-called judgment debt. And we in the MPP came and said that this is something that should never have happened. Because we know about this matter. That at the time that this man is claiming that he did something, he had never had a contract with the Ghana government. And he never did any of this work that he's claiming that he should be paid for. None of our people were asked by the current government, by the Mills Mahama NDC government, about any of the things that Alfred Woyome was claiming. And yet they went to court to say the government has no answer.
Eventually, mm-hmm. The president asked Iyoko to investigate it.
Which was totally illegal.
And then invited, you know, the former Minister of Finance, you know, to appear in your government at the time, Mr. Safo Mahfo. He didn't appear.
So we did up and set up a thing that was totally illegal. And when we
What makes it illegal?
Because the constitution is quite clear that when a matter comes up in the Auditor General's report and it's handed to Parliament for Parliament to go through it, it is only Parliament that can investigate matters within that report.
We have seen...
That thing came up in the Auditor General's report, it was now for Parliament to institute an investigation into the Auditor General's report.
This is not to spite Parliament, but we've seen the Parliamentary Accounts Committee, is that a name? I'm sure.
Yes.
Sitting on issues and investigating people who have been found out to have misused monies, nothing happened to them.
It's not for Parliament to prosecute, but it's for Parliament to expose. So the public
Public
Accounts Committee to expose. So let us have a full exposure. What the NPP said was that this thing, by the constitution of this country, which is a supreme law, must be investigated by Parliament. Let Parliament call anybody out of the MPP government and we will appear in front of Parliament. Because since the Kufuor government time, the work of the Public Accounts Committee has been broadcast live throughout the whole nation. So that everybody in Ghana who is interested can see and can hear what the evidence that has been given is. And can make up their minds as well as to whether the thing is properly done or not properly done. We didn't want anything to do with hiding things by saying that, oh, you're going to investigate Iyoko, and then it goes into an investigation that never yields any result, that never comes out, and the thing is all hidden, and then, oh, Ghanaians have a short memory, give it a while, they'll forget all about it.
So you advised, I mean, the NPP advised Mr. Safamafu not to appear before Iyoko?
So we told all our people, okay, let's get the courts to rule on this matter, but we are saying that the law of the land says it should go to Parliament for Parliament to investigate. And we like to uphold the law, and in this matter, we will do our very best to uphold the law.
But do you honestly think that the Iyoko would not do a good job?
But also, the Iyoko, what they were coming to investigate was the fraudulent award of a contract.
When?
Okay? That was the Iyoko
fraudulent award of a contract. Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was never a contract. So how can you fraudulently award something that never existed?
Why don't you go and prove it?
Because your Attorney General has gone to court even today.
That was today.
He said that there was never an award, there was never a contract.
No, before
today. And that evidence, before today, we've told the world there was never a contract. We've told today that this person, even the person, okay, Wayome, came on radio and told the whole of Ghana that he never had a contract with the Ghana government. If he never had a contract with the Ghana government, what contract are you going to investigate?
Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Mr. Sidi Nketiah, who had agreed to speak to us. Currently, his phones are all off. We are making alternative arrangements to see if we can get somebody from the NDC to speak on this program tonight. This is Behind the News, and it's live on Radio Ghana in Accra. So are you surprised that today the Attorney General went to the courts and said, there was never a contract?
The Attorney General previously, about a year ago or more, went to the courts to say that the money should not be paid. Okay, the previous Attorney General.
Yes.
Went and said the money should not be paid because she had made a mistake. Obviously, the mistake was that they found out that there was no contract and therefore there was no basis for Mr. Woyome to come and make any claim.
Yes. That. Okay.
Yes. After the courts had given her the injunction to stop payments. Okay, the court said, okay, the first $17 million has been paid, so let that go. But the other ones, don't pay. Come and then bring your case to court. We can hear it. And they said to the Woyome, don't spend the money, because when the case is heard, if you lose it, we will want the money back again. After the court had done that, what happened? They went ahead and paid the money. They went ahead and paid the monies that they themselves had gone to court to say, please, don't enforce this thing, let's come back to court. A year after they had got that stoppage, they were paying Wayome money on the basis of this fraud. Now they've gone back to court again, and they're claiming that, no, the whole thing was fraudulent.
So
what do you want Iyoko to investigate again?
What do you think? How do you think this is all this is going to end? Now that the Attorney General is saying, is arguing in court that there was not a contract after all.
Well, then I would hope that we go to court, and they're able to, ask Wayome, on what basis did you come to make this claim against the government of Ghana? And then if he is not able to establish a basis because he has no contract, then I would hope that then he will be told to refund the money, and then let's see Ghana get its money back.
Okay, Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana. Let's now try and do
so
some.
In the meantime, let us also question the president.
Why the president?
Who is the person who was voted in by us to look after our affairs, to manage our country for us, especially manage the economy, which is especially manage the money of this country, and ask him why on earth did he agree for all these monies to be paid to Alfred Wayome?
He was not aware.
My goodness! Then we should impeach him immediately.
How could he be aware? The man in charge of the money
is not aware of these sums of money being spent.
Well, you have been in government before. Does the president always have to approve payments before they are made?
Payments of that size, yes. Payments of that size and that nature, yes. Because this same judgment debt thing came up in our time. I remember on one occasion it came up. I think it was CP, okay, who came to claim.
Okay,
and said that they had this money. They were claiming 52 million euros. The president said he was not going to pay approve payment of 52 million euros. And he asked the attorney general to take the matter to arbitration. We took the matter to arbitration in Europe. The arbitrators over there awarded CP 1 million euros. The president's refusal to just sign away Ghana's money saved Ghana 51 million euros, less legal expenses. I would expect any president of this country to have the same regard for the people's hard-earned money. Do you know how people have to sweat to make that sort of money? Do you know what that money could do for the people of Ghana? When you're talking about, I mean, I'm faced with school bills now, okay, not for my own children, but for children I help. School bills that we paid, what was it, just about 6 weeks ago, okay, for a term that lasted 2 or 3 weeks. And now we're coming to pay again these sums of money. This is the sort of thing that Akufo-Addo says he will make it free. And this is the sort of money that could make that happen. You want things to happen. You want to expand this economy. You want to create jobs. You want to put investment into the economy. This is money that you could actually put into the economy and expand the economy and create the jobs. Instead, you give it to Alfred Woyone, who works apparently, who claimed that he was working in the castle and was a friend of the president. Even that alone should have raised with the president huge signs of alarm. Hey, this man, people know that he and I are associated. Let us make sure that we look into this thing so carefully. And if you looked into it, the first thing you say, how is he here? Upon what basis is he here? He claims that Ghana owes him money. Why does Ghana owe him money? You come to me, Abraham, you come to me and say, Jake, you owe me 50 CDs. I say, why? What for? Where for? And you have to show me how it is that I owe you. If you can't show me how I owe you, then on what basis are you going to make this this claim that I owe you?
Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana. Like, I will be doing MPP politics shortly, but I just want to read some of these text messages, mm-hmm. and then we come back to the MPP. Now, this one from Joe Na in Wise. He says, let the MPP tell us the percentage of their 2000 and 2004 of their manifesto promises that they fulfilled. The two northerners that they will build railway lines to the north, ask them what has come of it. Julius Inho, the NDC government has done more of the development of Ghana. Elect Professor Mills into power and you will see more developmental projects in the 10 regions of Ghana. This one, if Nana Akunedu decides to contest 2012 election, it will be a wrong decision and the opposition would fail if they are behind the process just to score political points. Akunedu will make the biggest mockery of herself if she should go ahead to contest 2012 election, and NDC should be careful not to dash out the seat to the MPP, Aloysius in Cape Coast, since that. This one from Kojo Ekins in Cape Coast, let all Ghanaians led by political leaders learn from Liberian political leaders. Joe Nwasu, the MPP, we cannot prove that this on this network, and so I will not read this one. I'm sorry. Baba Musa and UDS, those behind the illegal circulation of Madame Kunedu's posters in the Ashanti region are only mischief makers who want to sow seed of disunity in the ABC. AU Farouk in Tamale, whether Nanadu names his running mate or not, Nanadu and MPP will not get the mandate of Ghanaians again. Behind the News is live on Radio Ghana. Mr. Sidi Katia's phones are still off. We are trying to reach him. He promised to speak to us tonight, but we can't tell why, but all his phones are off. Anybody who's close to him can tell him or prompt him that you want to talk to him tonight. You want to react to anything?
Yeah, let me do the thing about
railway lines.
The keeping promises of railway lines. As Minister for Information, I produced a very thick book called MPP, We Keep Our Promises, where we went through all the different promises that we made in our manifesto.
Are those books available
yes,
now?
Available, yeah. They've been published.
Have copies here?
Widely distributed. Go to the Ministry of Information. You will find them there. Where we went through every single promise we made and showed which ones we had kept, to what levels we had kept them, and which ones we were still short of. We never promised that we were going to build a railway line to the north. What we said was that we would start investigating the feasibility of a railway line to the north.
How far did you go with that?
We did a lot of work on it. We brought in people from outside who came in to have a look at the things. Okay, we believe now that it is actually, in terms of the engineering, it is feasible. But what you've got to do now is to work out the economic side of it. Can it be made to pay for itself in the long term? Because anything that you do in this nature, infrastructure, you're making an investment. That investment must realize a return. Okay? If it cannot pay for itself, it means it will not be utilized to the levels that it needs to be utilized, and then the railway is not necessarily the answer. It may then be something else. Okay? But the work on all of that was started. It was fairly far advanced. We went and we talked to the Chinese, we talked to the South Africans, talked to so many people to see if they would come in and partner us to see about how this thing could happen.
We couldn't have done it all alone?
You can't.
By ourselves?
You can't. You can't do it alone. Okay, this is something where you don't even have the, you need a lot of help from different sources.
Government
shouldn't be building these things by
before we go to MPP, just briefly, because on this, as you're preparing for 2012, do you have a vision that, that can tell us Ghanaians that in 20 years we're going to have an educational system that will cater for these things, so that in 20 years we do not have to go to South Africa or China to bring in railway engineers and all that?
I think Nana Akufo-Addo has come out and said it, come out and stated. And then what he was told was that, he's a big dreamer. Okay, but without big dreams, what can you realize? Nana Akufo-Addo has consistently been saying that our economy is what he calls the Gaggenburg economy. Okay, and it's time that we moved off from the Gaggenburg economy. When the Gaggenburg economy was working for Ghana, our population was about 4 million. Today, our population is what? 24 million. So the same economy cannot work for a country six times the population. We have got to develop a new economy. We've got to really add value. Okay, and we've got to bring in industry. We've got to bring in the sort of the industries that we were talking about, okay, that we had started work on with the Brazilians in alumina. The businesses we're talking about, thank God that under NPP, we were able to find commercial quantities of oil and gas, so that the whole gas industry that we were well forward on, which has been held up for the last 3 years, sort of basically gone backwards again. Plus the small scale industries. You've got to convert, you've got to give people an opportunity to put some real money into their pockets. That means they've got to have jobs, or they've got to be able to make their own living. That means they need education, they need training. That's why he says he's committed to the thing of giving free secondary school education to every Ghanaian child, so that every single child in this country will be given the opportunity to maximize his or her own God-given talents. And what he's going to do that in the expansion is do it by centering upon the teacher, getting the teachers, more teachers, better trained, better looked after, to be able for them to make the commitments to bringing our children.
I want to deal with these issues before time runs out. But the NPP, you have a flag bearer now. I read today in various media that within 24 hours, Nanadu is going to announce his running mate. And that is already
I know that's not correct.
You know it's not correct?
Not correct. I mean, what we said and what we have said from the very beginning is that within the first quarter of this year, we would announce that flag bearer would come and consult with the National Council about his selection, his recommendation for his running
mate.
He's the one who the constitution of our party gives the power to select whomsoever.
Some of these media houses may have direct contact in the Naidu, and it's possible that he might have hinted that.
I'm the national chairman. I'm sure that if we were going to be going forward to this thing, I would know something.
Should you be surprised if we woke up tomorrow morning and the name is out and it's official?
I would be surprised, yes, because what I know we're doing at the moment is we're doing a lot of house cleaning in preparation for this, which is going to be a major year. We've had meetings with the national executives. We've had meetings just today. We've concluded a meeting with all the regional chairmen. Tomorrow we're meeting with the National Council on house cleaning, where we're going to brief them on the registration exercise, and also we're going to talk about some of the things that have been going into his selection process for a running mate. And then next, on the weekend, we're meeting all the parliamentarians and all the parliamentary candidates. We're doing a lot of housekeeping at the moment.
What kind of running mate are you looking for? You've talked about the vice president now, who is also going to be the running mate for President Mills. As a very active vice president, what kind of running mate are you looking for?
Somebody,
because I'm sure
you have your criteria. You want somebody who is capable, obviously. Okay, you want somebody who can work well with the president, with whom there is some personal chemistry. Okay, inshallah, your candidate becomes the president, and that's somebody who will be able to help the ticket to win.
So many names are being bandied around. The former running mate, Baumia, is there. Alhaji Jawala, his name has come up. Deputy minority leader has come up. Ambrose Dery. Which of these do you think is marketable?
I mean, you just mentioned three. Okay, I know a much larger number of people
who are
part of the consideration process. Okay,
they are also interested.
Nana Akufo-Addo has not limited himself. Okay, in looking at this question. Okay, he's somebody who's been in politics for a very long time. He's somebody who's very in tune with the party. He's somebody who's very in tune with the nation. He's somebody who's always had a vision. He's always had a vision for Ghana and for Ghanaians. He's always believed in the capability and the capacity of Ghanaians to run their own affairs. So he's, having been given the opportunity to be the flag bearer a second time for the NPP, definitely he wants to make sure that we do everything in our power to get the nod from the people of Ghana, so that inshallah he will be the next president and he'll have the opportunity to now to deliver on the vision that he has and that he has been sharing.
I remember the campaign that re-elected him as flag bearer. Amina Naidoo was that he was already known. He'd been marketed already to be easy for him to go there, for you to market him and all that, because he had been in the forefront. So with the running mate, wouldn't it be wise to go for the one who had paid up with him before?
You're not going to tempt me into going into the pros and cons of any particular individual.
But you're going to consider all these, because whoever he chooses,
he will be considering all these things very carefully. Okay,
I'm not sure that whoever he brings will be acceptable to the party, even if you think it will not help your end.
Nowhere does it say it's acceptable to the party. Okay, what it says is in consultation with the National Council.
So before he selects,
Before he selects, he would have done extensive consultation, so that I'm sure that when he selects, okay, you will find that there will be broad unanimity in approving of his selection.
So the three that I have mentioned, you say there are so many.
I'm not going to go into individuals.
But do you not think that it looks like there are others who are even campaigning for themselves to be chosen? Is that not going to affect party unity?
My goodness, no. Why? Why should this affect? I mean, if you decide that you
a former attorney general,
you look in the mirror and you say, "Oh, I see a vice president there," and then you come and you say, "Hey, I see a vice president in my mirror every morning when I'm shaving. Nana, why don't you consider me? This is what I bring." You are at liberty to do it. You are limited to do it.
On what
but
slogan?
It doesn't mean that if you are not the one who is chosen, you should go and sulk.
Mm-hmm. On what slogan? What slogan are you going to use for 2012?
Well, I'm sure that slogan actually ultimately will come out of the people.
Not all die be die?
All die be die has never been a slogan for a campaign. All die be die was a statement, okay, about our commitment to the democratic process, our commitment to make sure that nobody should come and steal. You know, well, I think the President Mills himself, in commissioning the prison at Ankafo, said that it is a God-given right. The vote is a God-given right. So having been given that right by God, and then I'm using that right, why should I allow somebody to come and steal the ballot box? Why should I allow somebody to come and change the numbers and therefore eliminate my vote, so your party members can put their lives on the line just to defend the democracy, to defend their God-given rights?
Okay, briefly, I'd like we've been trying to reach Mr. Sidi Nketiah. We've not been able to do that. Let's speak to the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC again, Joseph Yamin. Joseph, welcome again to Behind the News. So I'm sure you've been listening. What reaction do you have to what Mr. Obuchebelam has been saying?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me say Happy New Year to Chairman Jake.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. It is his party's choice and the party's way of selecting his candidate. I think that it would be unfair for me to.
No, because we had you earlier. I thought you listened to all the discussion, but you spoke about the performance of your party in government, and I think that generally what he thinks is that you've not done well to warrant a new mandate.
Well, of course, I don't think that you would expect the national chairman of the opposition party to say that we've performed well. Then it will be of no use, of no benefit for him going out there to say that they are campaigning for their candidate. So it's clear that you will not see the MPP giving any credit to this government. But at least I can clearly witness and understand how the MPP feels, knowing very well that the very things that prided themselves with when they came to power in 2001, when they said that they've managed the economy so well so that they've been able to bring down inflation, they've been able to bring down, the bank rates and things. If these were achievements that President Kufuor could stand on and say that we have a brighter future ahead of us, then indeed there are better days ahead of us, then the MPP should be giving credit to the NDC for also at least bringing down the targets from where they left to where we are today. And I'm sure that if inflations were not eating those days when the MPP were in power, then definitely they would not be eating today. But if they were, then indeed they should give credit to the NDC. Not to talk of all these things, I think that we are still enjoying, if not better than what the MPP left us. Then we can't talk about anything more than that. Security. This time around, yes, it's not the best that anybody is wishing that this country gets, but at least it's better. We can all understand today, but that those times where we could hear constant armed robbery and things, today we are not getting to that level again, and we are praying that we'll get further than this. But at on top of it all, whatever the NDC is doing today in terms of education, and then the NDC will come to destroy education, I don't know how we've come to destroy education. But in terms of infrastructure in the educational sector, you will praise this government for doing so. But again, on top of it all, we stand on what President Kufuor said when he was about leaving office, where he proposed that at least a 5-year period be given to every president, indicating that 4 years was not good enough as years to develop this country. These are clear signs for the MPP at least to understand that the government of today has performed and performed better than what they did when they were in power. I don't have anything to argue with my chairman to say that the NDC has done better than them or they have done better than us. I think that Ghanaians are the better people to decide in terms of voting for their candidate who that will rule this country.
All right.
But me, sincerely, I think that we deserve a second chance.
Thank you so much, Joseph. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate we didn't get you early enough. Thank you so much, and have a good night.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm sure you don't have any reaction to that.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for your kind words. But, you know, it's one thing to say you bring down bank rates, but then business people who are the major user of banks, they have to also come and testify say the rates have come down, they will dispute that. But more important than that is that in the last 2 years of Kufuor, those who remember, remember that the banks were coming to see people to get them to take loans. The banks were active in pushing for an expansion of the economy, for an expansion of activity. Today, the banks are back to what they were in 2000 under then Vice President Mills and Dufour and Amos Arthur, whatever, you know, on this thing. Also, I mean, we're talking about destruction. Okay, I think we have to look at what's happening in the National Health Insurance Scheme. Okay, and the things like the monies that Kufuor was able to raise to help pregnant women.
Okay,
you have to look at what's happened with education, that the kids themselves are crying to come back to 4 years instead of 3 years.
Okay, just briefly, this text message says from one set in Abakan, he says, Abraham, the Tamale Poly ICT Center was indeed begun by NPP, but Mills completed it and refurbished it and added 100 computers. So that explains why it was inaugurated by him. But how do we ensure peace in this year's election? What is the NPP going to do? Because some have said because of this all that we die, Yena Kamfo and all that, you are not that committed to peace.
We are 100% committed to peace. We are the opposition. How do we benefit by going against the security forces of this country? Okay, you are an opposition. You have all in your hands. Okay, the security forces have all sorts of weaponry. Are you going to start charging and saying we're going to create a... No. We need peace because we want to go about our business absolutely peacefully. Now we need the commitment more than just by voice. Unfortunately, the amount of electoral violence that this country has seen since 2009 is unprecedented. People who were seen carrying guns and shooting guns during by-elections have never been brought to book. People who slaughtered people in front of the police cars in Agbogbloshie have never been brought to book. There's been rampant lawlessness and violence offered by the quote-unquote foot soldiers of the NDC, even unto their own people, let alone unto us. Look at what they were doing to Nana Konedu in Cape Coast.
But we know that electoral violence is not particular with a particular party. It happens
We've got to have a situation where the government goes beyond just saying it and actually shows a commitment. One of the things that President Kufuor did, okay, was to say that he handed over the policing of the whole election, took it away from the DCEs, who are the chairman of the district security coordinating committees, and gave it to the security services. Because many places, the former DC or the acting DC was actually competing himself to be elected to parliament, or was obviously actively supporting the government candidate. So, in answer to a position from the NDC, the government of that time agreed to do it. That's something that we need to see a commitment to repeating for the next elections as well.
Would you contest?
Inshallah, we passed that one. Okay, the verification is in the budget. It's been allowed for verification. In fact, even Mr. Atua Hoy has come out to say the verification. Maybe we should not just limit it to verification of the voter, but also verification of the ballot, so anything that goes towards making...
Yeah, and I know it's in the budget, but if we're unable to do it...
Why should we be unable to do it? It's only a matter of the technology which is available.
Dr. Baumia, Dr. Mahfoud Baumia was marketed in the 2008 general election, so Nana should choose him. That came from Akwesi Chimesi in Tamale. I'm sure that you consider that. This one says, we will never vote for the MPP back to power. Every worker now knows the truth about their salaries. Moses in Garu says so. And this one says, Jake says, Kufuor was more listening than Mills. Please let him cite just one example, Azizo 2 from Gomwa Ekropong. Last word, then we add it.
Well, the difference is about Kufuor. What about the citizens' interactions that we had every year, where the president stood there and ordinary citizens came to ask him questions that they had never been able to ask him, that they'd never been able to ask a president before. Okay? Now, he was a very listening president as far as I'm concerned. The last question, really, at the end of the day, is that the people of Ghana This is our country. It's our company. We choose who should manage it. Last time we chose this set. If you think that they have managed it well and that you are doing better under it, obviously you will repeat them. But if, like me and like many millions of others, you feel that, look, they have no vision, they don't know where they're going, okay, this country has either gone backwards or has, at best has even stood still since they came in, then you will say, well, thank you very much indeed, Professor Mills, Mr. John Mahama, NDC, you sit over there. We're going to bring the MPP back and let's get this country moving
forward
again.
And that's what you're praying for. That's what you are praying for.
Inshallah, let it still come to pass.
Thank you very much for being with us tonight, Mr. Jacob Echevilla.
Thank you, Abraham.
National Chairman of the MPP. And that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. And tomorrow we'll be back again with another edition. The program was produced by Christopher Siedu and Montete, Kisido Bintre by Tagama, John Pobi, and sound controller for tonight, Isaac Yaredu. I am Abraham Asari. Have a good night.